Tanya, we're going, now we're finished with all these side things. And now we move on to our original discussion of the 12 tribes at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And we're specifically going to discuss where the Levites were. This is when the curses and the blessings were said. When Yeshua took the Jews and they crossed the Jordan River, they were told that on that very first day, that all the tribes would be at Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, giving the blessing and the curses. So the question is, where was specifically the tribe of Levi? We know, seems from what to now, they were in the middle, at the base, at the valley in between the two mountains. Well, let's now have a discussion of that. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Eliezer ben Yaakov says, E'efshar lomar Levi lamat. It's impossible to say that Levi was situated below when the blessings and the curses were pronounced. Why is it impossible to say that? Shekfar Nemar, it already said, Lamal, already said above, it's already said that they were to stand above in Har Gerizim. Why? Because look what the notes brings us. Moshe wrote in Sefer Dvarim, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the nation. Okay, they're going to stand on Mount Gerizim. And look what it says. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. So clearly the tribe of Levi is supposed to stand together with the other tribes on top of the mountain during the blessings. So if that's the case, so how could you say that they were at the bottom, in between the mountains? We said that in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah they were at the bottom. How can you say they're at the bottom? It says clearly they're one of the six tribes that was on Mount Gerizim. So how can you say they're at the bottom? On the other hand, though, the Efshalom and Lamala, you can't say they were above, even though the text says that. Why? Shikvar Nemer, it also says that they're in the book of Yeshua, that they are Lamata, that they're below. And what's that? That's what it says in Yeshua. It's when it actually happened, it says, and all Israel and its elders stood on this side, and that of the ark, opposite the Kohanim, the Levim, bears of the ark. So the Kohanim and Levim stood by the ark, which was below. So when Moshe gives the commandment, he says that the tribe of Levi should be on Har Gerizim. And when it actually happened, Yeshua has the Levim near the ark at the bottom. So what's going on? Hoketsa, how do we resolve that contradiction? Yes, sir. Zikne Kahuna Ulevi Lamata. The elders of the Kohanim and the Levim stood below with the ark. Also, it's hard for guests for the elders to climb up the mountain. Vahashar, and the rest of the tribe was Lamala. So the Torah that speaks about the majority of the tribe says that Levi was on Har Gerizim. But in Sefer Yeshua, when it says Levim were at the ark, it's talking about the elder Levim. So they were split up. Okay, that's one answer. Rabbi Yeshaya says a different answer. Rabbi Yeshaya Omer, they were divided up a little differently. Kol haroi l'shar samata. Any Levi who was of the age where he could administer. Remember, the Levim had a real good government job. They worked from the age 30 to 50, and then they retired at 50. That's a good government job, right? You worked for 20 years, 5 years in training, 25 to 30 they trained, 20 years they worked, and then they retired. So the ones who were workers, they were down by the ark. They were the ones, you know, doing the service of the ark. Vahashar and the rest, those that were under 30 and those who were older 50, Lamala, they were above on the mountain. So again, it was another.
They couldn't climb, Rabbi.
What?
The reason the others couldn't go.
I was just saying that maybe they couldn't climb. But, you know, whatever. But they didn't have to go all the way up. But whatever. So that's two different answers to how they divided it up. Now we have a third altogether different answer. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe's going to give an answer that shows a novel shot. We're finished with that question. Now, how does the whole thing, how did it all look over there? So Rebbe says, Elu ve'elu lamata. Both these and those were below. Meaning everybody was below. The Yisraelim were below. The Levim were below. They were all between the mountains. He's a whole, totally way of different looking at it. And he said, nobody stood on the mountains at all.
When you say below, you mean in the valley.
In the valley.
Okay.
In the valley. So nobody went on the mountain. Up to now, we thought it meant six tribes were on one mountain, six on another mountain. No. Nobody. Everybody was below in the valley. The only difference was, Hafuknehem plak Har-Gerizim. So they all turned their faces toward Har-Gerizim. They all turned this way. And then, Upasku bibracha, they began with a blessing. And then they would turn the other way, Klape Har Evel, they would all turn towards Mount Evel, Upasu b'klala, and then they would begin with a curse. Well, how did you come up with that interpretation? My Al, I've, that's true. Then what does it mean? It says they were Al. It says they were Al. They were on the mountain. Right? So my Al, what are you going to do with the word Al, which usually means upon the mountain? That seems to be the Pashup Shat. They were standing on the mountain. So he's going to say, you could say Al means besamach. Al can mean near. It doesn't have to mean upon. It also can mean near. How do we know that? Kidatanya, like we learned in a Brisa, where the same Tana says a similar interpretation that was already taught, that what it says another time, the word Al, where it doesn't mean on, but it means near. For example, it says, Vinasata Al Hamareches. We're talking about the 12 loaves of bread that were put on the Shulchan. So it says, you shall place, the simple meaning is, Lavona, frankincense, Al, on each stack of breads. So what does it mean, on the breads? So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, it also doesn't mean you put the frankincense on the breads, but Al means, besamuch, near the breads, and not on it. And you might think not. Ata Omer, you say Al, besamuch, saying Al means near. Oh, Noel, maybe Al means on top of it exactly. No, because Kishuomer, when it says somewhere else, when it says Visakosa Al Ha'aron, and you shall screen on the ark with a partition, you have the ark, and then it says you will what? And you'll screen the ark on Al Ha'aron. So what do you mean? You're putting a screen where? On top? On, right, sitting on top of it? Al, or will Al mean near? The parochas. So it can't mean on it.
No.
So since it says Al Haviomer Al Besamach, it means near. So it also could mean Al when the Torah says the frankincense should be placed Al the stacks of bread. It means near the stacks of bread. Same thing when it talks about Har-Gerizim Har-Eval, where they're Al. So in other words, there's a Hebrew word Al that standard translation means on or upon. But sometimes the word Al will mean near. And you have to know the context in which it works. Okay, so there's a machlokas there, exactly if they stood on the mountain or they stood near the mountains. Okay, and then we continue now with the Mishnah that continues this discussion of Har-Gerizim and Har-Evel. Hafku pneim klapei Har-Gerizim, they turned their faces toward Har-Gerizim, upasu bebracha, and they gave a blessing. All right. Now we're going to need a discussion as to the blessings. Although in some of them are mentioned in the Torah, there's a list of about 11 curses, and from the curses we imply the blessings. We're going to see the Gemara is going to go into greater detail now. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis learned, Baruch Bechlal, there was first of all a Baruch in general. In other words, the blessing was a general overall bracha. And then Baruch Befrat. And then a Baruch, a blessing that was more specific. Or Bechlal, there was a curse that was a general curse, and Or Befrat, and then we're going to see there is a more specific curse. What's going on over here? The commentary says, all the blessings and curses that are pronounced at Mount Gerizim or Evel were said both in a general form as well as in a specific form. The general form refers to the verse at the conclusion of the curses. What's that general form? Oror, cursed is Asher Lo Yokim Estivrei HaTorah Hazels. Cursed is the one who does not uphold the words of this Torah. Now, what's that talking about? So that's the general statement. That includes everything. It's a general. Now, it's interesting to know that more will tell us, but just know that really the blessings were said first. First, they said a blessing. Blessed is the one who has upheld the whole Torah. Then it was the opposite. Cursed one doesn't uphold the whole Torah.
The Kohanim do this, is that right?
Yeah, the Kohanim would say it, and everybody would say, Amen.
Yeah.
Right? So, Now, all the other curses relating to those psukim refer to specific transgressions, are also proclaimed both as blessings and as cursed. So let's, what chapter is this? Let's take a look at this. 27, 15 to 25. Okay, here it is. Okay, here we go. Here's the specifics. For example, Or Ha'ish Asher Yasa Pesel Masecha Tovas Hashem Masina blah blah. Cursed be the man who makes any engraved or molten image. And then Va'anu Kala'am Va'amru Amen. They all said Amen. That's specific. Cursed be he who dishonors his father, his mother, and all people say Amen. Again, details. Cursed be who removes his neighbor's landmark. Amen. Cursed be who makes the blind to wander out of the way. They say, Amen. Cursed be one who perverts the judgment of the stranger, orphan, widow. Amen. Cursed be who lies with his father's wife. Cursed be who lies with any kind of beast. Cursed be who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother. Cursed be who lies with his mother-in-law. Cursed be who strikes his neighbor secretly. Cursed be who takes a bribe to slander his person. Okay, then... Cursed be he who does not maintain all the words of this Torah to do them. So those are all the details. That's them. Now, the Torah writes the curses, but the implication is, and there was a blessing of the opposite was said first. First you start with a blessing, and then the curse. Blessing, curse, etc., and then the overall. So that's the way it was. Really, I don't understand what he's saying more than what the Chumash says, but we'll see why it is done that way. But that's the first thing. Next, now it's important now. Now regarding every mitzvah, now in general, okay, lilmod ulalamed lishmor velasos. Regarding every mitzvah, there's four commandments in every mitzvah. Why? Because a mitzvah just can't be a mitzvah. You got to first learn the mitzvah. Number two, teach the mitzvah. Number three, protect the mitzvah. And number four, do the mitzvah. How do we know this? Well, we look at the mitzvahs in general. It says in Sefer Dvarim, and you shall learn them, and you shall guard to do them. It says later on, and you shall teach them to your sons. Thus, each and every mitzvah actually entails four obligations: to learn that mitzvah, to guard it, to perform it, and to teach it. Okay, in various places in Torah, Moshe admonishes the Jews concerning the mitzvahs in general, using a variety of exhortations. Analysis of these exhortations reveals that take... What? Well, we have to see. Let's see what that means, really, to guard a mitzvah. I mean, there's many ways of understanding that, right? I mean, there's doing it, and guarding it means that it... Well, he's going to explain it. He's going to say, and so four main points are stressed. To learn the mitzvahs, to guard them, to fulfill them, and to teach them. These four commandments, then, are considered to be inherent in each and every mitzvah. To guard, in this context, explained by Marsha, to mean an obligation to constantly review one's learning to ensure that he does not forget. You got to remember it all. It's not just learning, but you got to make sure you don't forget it. What if you learn it and then forget it? You got to learn it, you got to review it, you got to teach it, you got to do it. That's every mitzvah. Now, it's interesting, like the flow of this Gemara over here is interesting. So, what do we get out of it? Consequently, what happened over here? We're going up to the top of the next page. Okay, let's just... So, you have Arba. So, four commandments are with every mitzvah. And each of these four... So, now, for each of these four, there was a general blessing and a specific blessing and a general curse... And a specific curse transmitted to Har Gerizim and Har Eivel. So you got to think about this. Whenever they gave a blessing or a curse, it was multiplied by four. Because you'd have to learn what that mitzvah is. You'd have to review that mitzvah. You'd have to teach that mitzvah and perform that mitzvah. So we're blessing, giving you a blessing for any one of those particular mitzvahs. It was really four blessings. And if it's a curse for anyone, it's four curses. Right, each blessing and curse was spoken four times, once for each of the four commandments inherent in every mitzvah. Thus, the general blessing was pronounced as followed: Blessed is one that learns to uphold this Torah. That's number one. Blessed is one that teaches to uphold this Torah. Blessed is one that guards to uphold this Torah. Blessed is one who fulfills this Torah. And the curse ran the other way. Cursed is one who does not learn, right, to uphold the Torah, right? Uphold the Torah. Cursed is one who does not teach it, right, to uphold this Torah, and so on for guarding and doing. Similarly, the specific blessings and curses were enunciated in this manner. For example, blessed is one who does not learn to make a graven or molten image. Blessed is one who does not teach to make a graven or molten image, and so on for guarding and doing. The corresponding curse, cursed is one who learns to make a graven or molten image. Cursed is one who teaches to make a graven or molten image, and so on for guarding and doing. In total, therefore, each one of the four commandments inherent in each mitzvah had four covenants, blessing or curses sealed regarding it. Okay, fine. So so it comes out, everything here was multiplied by four. That's what happened in the mountain. It wasn't just blessed is the one who doesn't do this. It's blessed is the one who teaches those not to do this. Blessed is the one who learns not to do this. Blessed is the one who remembers not to do this. And blessed is the one who upholds to not do this. So let's see what's going to happen over here. So it comes out, arba, va'arba. So four covenants, va'arba, and four covenants, ha'vishma, that's eight, right? It comes out, there are four covenants, two blessings and two curses associated with the commandment to learn each mitzvah, and four covenants associated with the commandment to teach each mitzvah, which makes a total of eight covenants. Right?
The rest two.
One second. So how do we understand this? There are four. This is two blessings and to learn each mitzvah. How do you have four? And four comes to teach each mitzvah. It makes a total of eight.
Yeah, well, what's the other two?
And I don't get that exactly. Well, let's see the next line. Shmona Ushmona, these eight covenants with another eight covenants associated with the commandments to guard and to make and do makes a total of 16 covenants. Okay, so where do you get this number from? I still don't get it. Where you're getting eight.
You have a blessing and a curse. And then for each blessing you have four. Each curse you have four.
So that's eight.
I don't know where you get the 16.
Right.
Because each one has a blessing and a curse, so that's 16.
You have a blessing. You have a blessing to learn it, teach it, guard it, and do it. That's four. And then you have a curse for the opposite. So that's eight for each blessing, for each mitzvah.
Oh, I see.
So where do you get 16?
Okay. Arba, thus, there were four covenants, two blessings and two curses associated with the commandment to learn.
Oh, with each commandment, each mitzvah, there were four.
And four covenants associated with the commandment to teach.
So that makes sense then. Because
well,
with each commandment, there were four covenants.
I don't understand. Each commandment, there's four on the positive side, and four on the negative side is eight.
Yeah, but there's two in each.
Now he's getting Shmona Ushmona, eight covenants, and another eight covenants makes 16. I don't get that yet. Let's see if the Gemara fixes it up later on. I don't. Each commandment, there's only four on the positive, four on the negative.
Yeah, four times four is 16.
Not times, it's plus.
Well, okay.
It's plus.
Four for each four.
No. Blessed is the one who does not make a graven image.
Two curses for each.
No, there's one for each.
That's what it said.
I understand what it's saying. It doesn't make sense.
That's what it said.
I know what it said, but it doesn't make sense. So let's see. Let's read a little further. Perhaps we'll get elucidated. V'chein b'Sinai. Likewise, this happened at Sinai when the commandments were given to Moshe. They were given with specific, general and specific blessings. V'chein b'Arvas Moav, so it was in Arvas Moav, in the plains of Moav, when Moshe, at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, he reviewed the whole Torah with them. Shenemar, as it says over there, Ela, at the end of all that, at the end of, near the end of Sefer Torah, it's Ela Divarbi, these are the words of the covenant, Asher Tziva Hashem, Es Moshe, that Hashem commanded Moshe. So appears there's three. So this verse, which speaks of the covenant that was sealed by Moshe with Israel on the plains of Moab, appears after the section describing the blessings of Kriskim and Har Evel. This doesn't imply that the covenant of the plains of Moab was pronounced in the same manner as that of Mount Kriskim and Har Evel. In other words, with 16 blessings and curses as described above. And since this verse concludes, besides the covenant that he sealed with them in Chorev, at Sinai, we know the Sinai covenant was also found. So it comes out there were three times that these covenants made. There's a covenant made on Arvas Moav at the end of Moshe's life. He says, and that's going to be just like you're going to do at Har Gerizim and Har Evel. It's just like he did at Har Sinai. Okay, but still, we're stuck to get this 16. Okay, we're going to make life worse now. Ksiv, and it also says, Ushmartem es divrei habris hazos, and you shall observe the words of this covenant. Nimtza comes out, Mem ches brisos, I'll call mitzvah u'mitzvah. There's 48 covenants for each and every mitzvah because you have 16 and 16 and 16 is 48.
Each mountain.
Yeah, we're back to the 16.
I got the times three part.
Yeah, we would get 24.
And I don't get what where the 16 is over here. It's just and believe it or not, there's no Rashi. There's no Rashi. I don't. Let's go back. It does to me. This stuff. But we had Arba, right? We had Arba. Four Arba commandments associated with every mitzvah, and each of these four, there was a general blessing and a general
curse.
Oh, I get it now. No, I get it now. When the Torah says each individual one, okay, let's say a blessing. For this thing, bless the one who does not make a graven image. So bless is one who learned not to make a graven image. Bless one who did not, who taught not to make a graven image. The one who remembered not to make a graven image. And who actually did not. That's four. Now the curse is four. Then the last line says, and blessed is anyone who upholds the Torah. That's the general one. That general one is a general. Every time you do a specific, you fulfill the general. When I don't make a graven image, I've not just done eight things, I've done 16. Because the specific is part of the general.
That's right.
When I make a graven image, have I also gone against upholding the entire Torah?
Yes.
So that's what he's saying. So for each one has the specific aspect to it. And the general aspect. It goes together. If you knock out a specific, you by definition have knocked out the general. Because the general is really nothing specific.
Yeah.
So when I don't make a graven image, effectively, there's 48 covenants have been made for that not making a graven image. How do we get that? Well, first of all, it's three separate occurrences. So 3 times 16. So how do you get 16? So you get for each one, which is a specific, you got four on the side of blessing, four on the side of curse, and as a specific, as part of the general, you fulfill the general by fulfilling every specific. So when you do a specific, you're also doing the general. Right? So you're doubling, and when you do it, you're going against, you're doing a sin and a specific. Doing
the
so there,
counting the general.
Right.
Yeah, that's going once.
That's right. Going. That's what he's saying. Okay. That's what he's saying. That for each and for each of these four, there was a general blessing and a specific blessing and a general curse and a specific curse. Right. So each bless. Yeah. Well, we said all this, but the general.
Yeah.
That's
each
the point.
And a general one afterwards. So they added all together. Yes.
Each one's a double. That's right. Okay. So comes out, Nimtzas comes out, Mem Ches Brisos, I'll call mitzvah mitzvah. There's 48 covenants with each and every mitzvah, the positive and the negative side.
That's right.
All right. So he says there's three occurrences of this. At Sinai, 40 years later at Arvas Moav, and then when they crossed the Jordan River at Har Gerizim and Har Evel.
Yeah.
Is this anybody's name? I don't think they name us. Okay. Reb Shimon, on the other hand, he changed a little bit. Motzi har grizim har evil. He removes har grizim and har evil from this equation. Umachnis ol moed shebamidbor. And he inserts instead the tent of meeting in the desert. What does this mean? Yeshua did not mention all the commandments of the Torah at Mount Gerizim and Mount Evil, but rather only the 11 enumerated. Thus, Reb Shimon maintains that the pronouncements at Mount Gerizim or Evil cannot be counted towards a total of 48 covenants. Aha! Instead, he reckons the tent of meeting in the wilderness as the third place. After the Mishkan was erected, God spoke with Moshe there and taught him the Torah in its entirety. Although there are no covenants relating to this meeting, Reb Shimon is of opinion that the commandments taught in the tent of meeting were a repetition of those taught at Sinai, hence just as 16 covenants were associated with the former, so too with the latter. Apparently, there was unanimous agreement with the Tanoim, presumably based on tradition, that 48 covenants, 16 in each of these three places, existed. Accordingly, since Reb Shimon maintains that the covenant of Mount Gerizim Har Evil did not include all the mitzvahs, he's forced to substitute that with the tent of meeting. Tanakam, however, does not count Mount Gerizim. Does count Mount Gerizim Har Evil as one of the three places? Evidently, holds that the covenant there included all of the mitzvahs. Aha! In other words, what's going on is like this: Har Gerizim Har Evil just talked about 11 particular mitzvahs. Fine, but we're talking about all 613 mitzvahs. So we're saying that there was a covenant on each and every one of the 613 mitzvahs. Each mitzvah, there it was. Moshe made a covenant with them, positive and negative. For each mitzvah, specific and general. So figure out 613 times 48. That's how many covenants have been made with each and every mitzvah. Everybody agrees that that happened at Sinai without question. Everyone agrees that Arvus Moav after 4 years, for the whole Torah, went without question. The Machlokas says, where's the third time this happened for the whole Torah? So did it also happen Har Gerizim and Har Evil besides those 11? The 11 were facing the mountain. The 11 were specific for something specific, a specific notion, theme, while the other 613 were also mentioned similarly, right? That's what, this is a whole complicated thing. But anyway, so that's the machlokas. That's the machlokas. So it comes out each and every one of the 613 mitzvahs had 16 covenants with it. Because for each mitzvah, Moshe said there's four positive ways, four negative ways, the general, specific, 16. Okay? So now, so what are they arguing about? Upluk to the Hani Tanoi, and that this machlokas they're having is the point disputed by the following Tanoim. Titanya Rabbi Shmuel Omer, we learned in a Brice, Rabbi Shmuel says, Klolos Nemru B'Sinai. The general principle of the mitzvahs were told to Moshe at Sinai. Upratos and the details Ba'ol Moed. He says in Ba'ol Moed. In other words, many laws were taught to Moshe at Sinai in a general manner without their details. It was only after the Mishkan was erected when Moshe communicated with Moshe, with Hashem communicated with Moshe, the details. For example, Moshe was told at Sinai, an altar of earth shall you make for me, and you shall slaughter near it your olas and your shlomim. That was general. At that time, Moshe was not instructed in the details of the sacrificial procedure, such as the exact method of sprinkling the blood on the altar, skinning and dismembering the ola, burning the amorim, the shlamim. The details of the sacrificial law were taught later in the Mishkan. They were recorded in the book of Leviticus, which begins, he called to Moshe, and Hashem spoke to him in the tent of meeting. So this follows every case of, let's say, sacrificial law, blah, blah, blah. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel says, at Sinai, Moshe only learned the general. And then when he went to the Mishkan, Hashem would give him all the details. Yeah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. He says, Klolos Upratos and Resinai, the general principles and the details were told at Sinai, and Vinishnu Ba'al Moed, and then were reiterated to him in the tent of meeting. Okay? So in other words, he got everything at Sinai, and then everything was repeated again. Okay? Vinishtal Shalom was said the third time, in Arvus Moav. Okay? Accordingly, the Tanakh.
Mount Sinai was first.
Everything. Everything.
Everything.
Ohel Moed is second. And Arvus Moav was third. Uh-huh. Everything. Now, what? That's Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Shmuel didn't say that. Accordingly, the Tanakhama subscribes to Rabbi Shmuel that the commandments told to Moshe in the tent of meeting We're not a separate set, but an elaboration of those given at Sinai. In other words, do we look at the Ohel Moed as a complete separate set or just an adjunct to Sinai? So, therefore, that's the machlokas if these blessings and curses were said two separate ones at Sinai or Ohel Moed, or just Sinai includes Ohel Moed. That becomes the issue. Okay, fine. And a good place to stop. 30 minutes, so we're going to stop over here. Now we're going to get to the next point, which now backs to what's going on, that there's not a single commandment that doesn't have 48 covenants. That's going to be the next point we're going to talk about.